Talofa, Bula, Malo. Welcome to Pacific Rugby Players Radio. All things Pacific Rugby, all things about us. A place where we take time to talk the big and small issues, share stories and have a few laughs with current and past Pacific Rugby players around the world. So whether on the team bus, driving home from training or on the physio table, sit back, chill and dig down deep on the issues that affect us. Pacific Rugby Players. Here's your host for today.
Talofa everyone, welcome to PRP Podcast. My name's Aiden Clark. Thanks for joining us today for our chat around coaching post-rugby career. This is a really exciting session. We've got two legends of the game, in Tana Umanga and Chris Maasoi, who are both at different stages of their coaching career. We're really lucky to be able to pick their brains and ask them about the challenges and all the highs and the lows that they've experienced through their different coaching career. Tana, who's been through many professional teams and really carving his way through the coaching world. And Chris Maasoi, who's only just starting out in his defensive coaching role at Racing in Paris. We've got plenty of players online. This is going to be a huge one. Coaching is often a pathway that players think about. Our PD team, when doing individual plans with players across the world, coaching as an option comes up very, very often. In these uncertain times, there's never been a better time for us to think about what we're going to do post-rugby career. The world is unsure about what's going to happen. The rugby industry is unsure about what's going to happen. And I'm sure there is many players out there who are uncertain what the future looks like. So as we dive into this personal development session, have your pen and pad ready, taking notes from these two men with all the gold that they've got around what they've experienced in their coaching career.
Good evening, good morning to everybody. My name is Aiden Clark, CEO of Pacific Rugby Players. This week has been, we've had an offering of online workshops across a number of subjects to all the Pacific Island players and all rugby players in general anyway. So welcome to everyone who's jumped on for the first time this week. And we've had some good chats around business. We've had some good that was with Thalilo Martins. We've had a good chat with yesterday with Johnny Liotta about managing transition. Today, we've got a couple of good legends for us to talk about coaching. And tomorrow, we're talking about budgeting and money. And especially at these times, looking at revising your budgets based on any impact that you might have had from COVID-19. And then probably tomorrow, we'll roll out our list for next week, which is looking pretty good too. Pretty looking pretty solid. So welcome to everybody. We might just crank straight into it. We know what we're here for. These guys don't need much of introduction, but firstly, Tana. Morning, bro. Wellington, Hurricanes, All Blacks legend, 74 tests, 21 as captain, but then embarked on a bit of a hybrid player-coach roles into his coaching roles that he has now at Toulon, Counties, and then now the Blues. Proud Pacific Islander, influence of and leader in communities, inspiration to all men. And we've got Masi as well, who's reaching out from Paris there, bro. Taranaki, Wellington, Hurricanes, All Blacks legend as well. Damager on field. Left New Zealand shores, I think, bro. Not sure what year, but played about near 250 games in the top 14 in France at Cast, Toulon, and at Racing 92. Where he hung up his boots and then moved into the coaching ranks and his role now as defensive coach. So welcome, men. Thanks for joining us and for giving us your time of your day. Let it roll straight into it. Firstly, both, how's isolation life going and how's things in general?
Well, go on. Well, how's everyone? Good to be here. As I've said before, this is the earliest I've been up in lockdown, so excuse me if I look like I've just woken up. No, everything's going good. Just adapting to our new normal, as they call it now, and I think we're halfway through week three, or into week three. Just trying to think of better ways that I can lie on the couch and, you know, not hurt my back or anything, you know, not get too stressful in lockdown, and keeping my kids, as you said, making sure that they don't get too eventful, but like I think I've got teenage kids, so they've been isolating for a while in their own rooms. It's the actual hard thing to bring them out and get them out to the dinner table and be here all as one. But it's been a good thing for our family to connect. And I think we've got my oldest son, he's an essential worker. He goes to work every day, so, you know, we get when he's home, dinner's ready, and we're all asking him questions, what's it like on the outside world? Like a movie or something, you know? So he gets sick of it, and he just eats his food and goes back to his room.
Nice. Thanks, bro. Yeah, Mussy has things in Paris, brother?
Yeah, no, like to you say, mate, it's been a difficult time, but, you know, it's a good time to reflect on family, you know. You know, we got, you know, two little boys here, get us busy. You know, to actually stuck in a house with your wife and two kids to learn out what mother's like, you know, bringing up those kids, it's a pretty tough job, to be honest. but, you know, everything's good, you know, like to say, you know, it's a good time. Family get, you know, talk to family on Viber or the WhatsApp or FaceTime, you know, just checking in, everyone's okay in this tough time. And I think that's a good thing that comes out, you know, bring us together and bring people together.
Awesome, brother. All right. Before we jump into the coaching chat, just a little bit of housekeeping for everybody. If you can, I think try and keep your mute on so we don't hear all the kids in the background. And we're just going to roll through some questions to start off with these two men. And if anything pops up outside of what we're chatting about, or you want to dive down a bit deeper on a subject, just put your hand up, or we'll have a question time at the end where we can just really go with the flow. And there's also a chat function on the side there in Zoom where if you don't want to put your hand up and ask your question, you can just fire it in there or send it to me, and we'll ask Tana and Mussy those questions that you want to know. But first, Mussy, let's start with you. We're really fortunate. We've got two coaches here at different stages of their careers. So we've got, I think it's good, different perspective. For you, bro, tell us, while you were still playing at Rusting, how and why did you pursue your coaching career?
For me, like, you know, when I was in New Zealand, I left New Zealand in 2000 after the NPC 2008, you know, still 29. You know, but I think what got me into it when I, even New Zealand, I was still involved a little bit, you know, like include in the Hurricanes, the senior player and stuff like that. But got me into when I arrived in France, you know, being, you know, I think enough that being, you know, being captains of cars and captain Toulon a couple of times and racing. I think that's what got me into coaching. It's more the involvement the coaches in France that gave me. And I think, you know, from there on, I just realised, you know, I want to give back to, you know, not just to the French rugby, you know, to the world rugby, you know, the experience I had as a professional rugby player, and, you know, and something that I love is, you know, is the game. And that's how I got into the coaching.
Yeah, nice. And Tana, how did the transition happen for you? At what stage did the sort of light go off where you thought, okay, this is what I'm going to chase?
Mine was kind of similar to Mussy's in terms of, you know, when I was the leader as a captain, and you always have those kind of discussions in terms of with coaches, you know, and how training's going to go and how the team's going, and that responsibility about making sure that, you know, how the team's feeling, how the players are going, giving feedback to the coaches. And then at the end of my career in New Zealand, I got the opportunity to go to coach in France, really. So, look, I'm a pretty easygoing guy, so I just go with the flow. I adapt, and it was just another opportunity to stay in the game I love, and that's given a lot to me. It wasn't really, you know, something that I'd thought a lot about going into the coaching realm, but it is something that I've probably been doing, you know, towards the back end of my career. You know, it was always passing on the knowledge that was passed on to me. and it's been something now that I've kind of grown into. And I look back, you know, I've probably from a family of teachers, you know, my parents teaching at Sunday school and church, my sisters, they're teachers, you know, qualified teachers. And so, you know, it's just probably something that was in me that I learned through just being around home, and something that I enjoy doing. You know, again, it's, you know, I think within our cultures, is just learning to pass on what we've learnt, you know, help those that have come from the same backgrounds as us to forge forward into a career that, you know, we dominate numbers and we're good at, and making sure that, you know, we lead a better path for those that are coming behind us.
Yeah, awesome. If we... if we part going into coaching and we just think about the actual transition out of rugby, there's a lot of players online at the moment who will be probably apprehensive and thinking about whether that's soon or in many years and what that stage is going to be like. For both of you, you got anything to share around that sort of rollercoaster of emotions that happen when you hang up the boots and you have to put a different hat on?
I'll go first. I'll stand up because for me, I didn't like for, you know, all the boys that listening. I think what's easy for me was that I didn't have the, you know, the break from the game. You know, it was as soon as I hang up the boots, I straight into that sort of the role. You're still involved in the, you know, in the environment of rugby, and I think that's what lucky for me. You know, I'm still there. And like Tana would say, you know, it's in our blood. You know, we're passionate about the game. And for me, it's I was lucky enough that I didn't have the break from the game. You know, I was straight into that role and still involved in the rugby environment, you know, to the team and things like that. And, you know, it's for my advice, if, you know, if you're thinking of doing the coaching in many years or in the future, you know, you've got to stay with the game and to be part of it. And Bobby, that's the advice I'll give you to those boys who want to be.
Thanks, bro. Tana, anything for you?
Yeah, I think just for me, it's an opportunity. The opportunities that rugby give you, it's to make sure you take those now. Rugby, you know, there's all, you know, different avenues you can go down. You know, obviously the coaching's probably the main one that you think about because it's, you know, again, the next step. But the thing that I always say to coaches is, to players that are thinking about coaching, there's not a lot of jobs to be a professional coach. If you think about, you know, there's, I think, 12 sides, or probably more, and might a team when you come back to New Zealand, they're not high-paying jobs. And then there's only 5 Super Rugby jobs, head coaching jobs, and then around those there's only 5 in each team. So you've got to think there's not a lot of big jobs to go to in terms of coaching in New Zealand. So when you think about where you are, it's around making those connections, which is the hard part for us, is the networking, you know, creating relationships with rugby people, getting out of the corner of the you know, the room in the aftermatch. Instead of talking to the boys, you know, you're going to have to talk to rugby people to strike up some relationships. And, you know, actually rugby people will help rugby people. They'll help. Now they're willing to help because they have a, you know, a love of the game and they love to watch. And when I'm talking around sponsors or people that you might know, and, you know, we've got a lot of guys, my brother, for instance, who's, you know, coaching at a school and they've got a good gig and he keeps, you know, they'd like to come home, but come home to what? You know, you've got to kind of think in those terms around what's your pathway, where you want to go to coach. If it's to the elite level, then it's going to be a bit of a sacrifice if you think to come home. And where home might be, you know, home might be where you are now, and it's going to be the same pathway. Where you're going to start once rugby, once your rugby wage finishes, there's a big drop. So you've got to think about what you're sacrificing and who it's for. And so I just think, you know, that's just not a, you fall into a good gig, you know, it's tough. Like I'm not going to say I'm pretty fortunate to the life I've lived and my family have lived. You know, I've been able to fall into a job and you know, do quite well out of it. And I still am. You know, I'm always professing to the players. We live a really fortunate life. Yet, you know, there's always something at the other end that you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, so, you know, it's around trying to mitigate the risk, you know, around having always something else. And so, you know, we try and push that truth really hard within the players that I'm a part of. Always set yourself up for something in our life after rugby.
Yeah, nice. What I'm hearing there is if coaching is of interest to you and you're thinking about it, the probably advice there is that making sure that everybody's got a clear plan and knowing where they're going to relocate to and what the opportunities are going to be there with coaching, and is that realistic, and whether they want to give back or whether they want to, if it's going to be their breadwinner, then they have to know exactly what they're doing. I understand that. For you, Tana, in those initial stages of getting into coaching, there must have been some challenges. I'm sure, just that going from that player's mindset to being the coach, what could be some of those and how do you overcome them?
There's lots, I suppose. Like, you know, yeah, the ability to just do when you're playing, you know, you can show and you can tell them this is the way it should be done and this is where we'll do it. And then you go out there on the field and you're beside them, showing them how to, you know, in terms of, you know, actually physically doing it, to when you actually have to step back, you can't do that anymore, and then you've got to explain it, and then you, the frustrations that you've got to put aside, you know, because having to explain and wait for the error correct, you know, make mistakes, then correct them again, and, you know, just draws out the process. If we're always, as players, we want it short and sharp, we want it done really quick, so we can move on. From a coaching perspective, we want the same thing. We just don't have the ability to get on the field and you know, demonstrate actually in real time, if that makes sense. Mussey probably still could. then they start kind of, when you do sometimes like that, you know, the players say, oh, we're not lucky though.
Yeah. On that theme, question for both of you, even off the field, how do you manage the transition from being one of the boys to now all of a sudden being in management? Probably can't kick on and have a few beers with the group, wouldn't look that well, but the temptation in the early years of your coaching career is probably there to do that. How did you do that? Because I'm sure guys online would be interested to know.
Okay. For me, it's... Probably that's the hardest things, especially in France. You know, I think New Zealand is a little bit different. You know, the players and the coaches are still, you know, have a couple. But in France, it's more like a isolation sort of thing. The management and the players, probably T knows about that too. He's experienced it too long. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, like T was saying before, it's a lot of sacrifice as a player, man. Used to be, you know, just analysing your own opposition as 8 or 7 or 6. But now, as a coach, it's been like, you know, caught up with T last year when I went back to New Zealand. This, you know, looking at computers new to me, like, that's a sacrifice, you know, the hours you put in, you know. And, you know, talking about the transition from, you know, the players and between the players and the management, you know, we still, you know, catch up with some of the boys after outside the rugby, you know, on the weekends, there's no rugby, we get out for dinner and stuff like that, talk about life and things like that, you know, you still get that relationship, you know. But yeah, it's been tough, but like T was saying before, you know, it's all about the sacrifice you're going to put in. And, you know, after game, you normally you go out with the boys, but now I'll come home and make sure I've got the review for Monday and sit on the computer. And yeah, it's give us something to do. And, you know, that's what it is. You know, it comes with the part of the job.
Yep. Anything on that, Tana?
Yeah, look, I made a concerted effort to distance myself because of, you know, those, I didn't want any blurred lines. I like black and white. And, you know, so when I started, I just, this is it, this is how it is. Because she's a tough one, and I learned early, because at some stage, we love our players and, you know, we're social as a culture, yet at some stage, I've got to make the decision that I could finish someone's livelihood. And that becomes tough, you know, and then emotions start getting involved. So, you know, there's that something you got to think about when you, if you do get into the top job, it's understanding that, yeah, there's a line, you know, and I kind of understood, I'd had to make a couple of big decisions for people I knew, and that didn't go down well.
Yeah.
So when I came back to New Zealand, I just said, oh, well, this is how it is now. I've got to, you know, make sure that now there is, they understand, yeah, we're all, you know, we're all brothers, and I try and treat people that way. Yet at some stage, there's going to have to be hard decisions to make. You know, as you learn, sometimes it's cutthroat out there, and you've got to do what's the best for the team, what you think. And in the end, it's all about performance, because, you know, we've got to put a product out there. I learned early that in the end, we're just entertainers, you know, and I think what's happening at the moment has really put it to the forefront, you know, to show how important we are, you know, to, and that's the reality of it. It's pretty, you know, cut to, like I said, you know, it's pretty succinct in those terms, but that's the reality. You know, like I said, it hurts a bit, and it took me a while to get over it when it first happened to me. It stuck in, you know, yet I think I've kind of come out the other side of it now. I'm a bit more relaxed. You know, as you do, you learn. You know, I think players want to know. They've got to be careful what they ask for these days. They must. We want to know the real tonne. Shh, you don't want to know the real. You're growing up now.
That's why we stay away.
Just to chase something there that you both sort of touched on, and probably valuable for all the guys out there thinking about coaching, is the workload in behind the scenes, especially in the modern game. Diving into those reviews, the preparation, like, it's all very well for the boys to turn up with their protein shake, walk into the team room and get right out. And there's a level of homework and research that the players are doing, but tell us about what a week can look like for yourselves and what you've learned around the coaching work.
So I work Sunday mornings, so play Saturday. Obviously, you're involved with the team Saturday. Saturday's kind of like the lightest, one of the lightest days you've got for me, because most of the prep's done before that.
Not mussy.
Sunday, you know, I'm up early reviewing the game. I don't like to look at it after the game. Some of our coaches watch it directly straight after. I like it to kind of settle and relax a little bit. So most of my Sunday, probably till midday, I've done just reviewing the game. Then it's all about presenting on Mondays, ready to present the review. Then we're ready to present the preview Tuesday, part of the reviews, part of the preview. Then I'm getting ready to present another part of our preview on Thursday, and then preparing for the following week, you know, Thursday, Friday, so I can have a bit of a morning off on Friday. So I'm pretty busy looking at the screen, but I enjoy it. You know, it just keeps me busy. I know my wife likes me doing it because it keeps me out of her hair. It's a big workload, and a lot of it's done at home or, you know, in the office. So making sure that you've got a good balance, that's why I like to get things out early, get it done, little bits done quite throughout the week, so I can be home, and when I'm home, I'm home. Kids go to bed, you know, ready for school, and then, you know, I can get back on the laptop and do my work. I don't like to bring my work home too much. Yep. Just making sure that that lifestyle is given the respect that it requires.
Yeah, nice. Anything to add there, Mossy, other than the laptop?
Yeah, it's probably, you know, it's new, like I said before, you know, like for me, it's all about balance, you know, for probably that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, those are my busiest day, you know, like a review of the game. If we play Saturday, I look at like Sunday. If we play Sunday, we look at Monday and then review who's the team we're going to play the next week. You know, it's like Tana would say, it's about the sacrifice, you know, the amount of hours you put in. Sometimes I leave home, you know, because, you know, fifth in the top 14 in France, it's all about meeting. You know, sometimes we have to be at 7:30 at the club, you know, and then don't start till 9:30. You know, those are the sacrifices, and then you don't get home till like
it's 6 too early, coach. You
know? but, you know, like T will say, it's just all about sacrificing. And, you know, like something new to me, but, you know, I like it, you know, just, you know, looking at the, you know, two clips and stuff like that. I was like, sometimes I'll be like, did I used to do that too? But, you know, that's, you know, that's the part of the job, man. It's going to sacrifice yourself on how many hours you're going to, you know, spend on that computer.
And so what about the qualifications? So you're both fortunate to be able to take that step from playing then into these coaching roles. For all the players listening, like in different parts of the world, actually, in France, I understand, you know, you've got to have a different type of qualification just to be able to coach there, also back in New Zealand. As a rugby player, either thinking in hindsight or through your own experience, what can you pass on there about getting the certificates and getting the quals?
In France, France has got their own course. Don't know if T, you got the DE and the DS. It's only work in France. And if you don't do that, you're not allowed on the side of the field. And I'll probably the last things I want to do is get on the side of the field. But I had to do it. I'm doing a DS at the moment. It's all in French. Boys will be laughing, but, you know, I'm surprised there's not many people go through. Rowan O'Cara did it. My first year was here. He didn't pass. But, you know, I'm still a couple more hours to do.
David Smith.
the DA in France, and that's the qualification you need to be passed in France. And, you know, T, you probably know the World Rugby one, you know, the level 1, 2, and 3, and 4. I'm, you know, looking at do the DA first before I'm moving to the World Rugby one.
Oh, look, there's, you know, there's qualifications that you have to do, and there's qualifications that you probably want to do. I think I've got rugby smart. I think I passed that. I think I have to. That's part of my role. that's a requirement. Other than that, a bit like my school days, I don't have a lot of, you know, paper qualifications. I didn't pass from C at school, and I don't think I've got any other qualifications apart from level 1 or level 2. I think it's, again, it's around who you are in terms of what you can bring. As long as you're bringing... you know, what's required in terms of your teachings, and the players get what you're trying to deliver. You know, that's the key thing. That, you know, it's great, as we all know, it's one thing to have all the experience and the understanding in your head. It's how you pass it on, so it cements itself into those that you're coaching. You know, it cements in their head. That's what you're trying to do. I've lived a pretty blessed life in terms of how I've got my roles, yet I've still got to deliver what I need to deliver. In terms of on field, you know, this is on the grass, which is where we're all comfortable are, you know, and it's what we love to do, is getting on the grass. And I'm sure that's it, because that's where our players want to be as well. There is an element that you've got to have the classroom time, which, you know, which is the hard one, where we do struggle a little bit, but it's so important. But it, it's also a place where when you're doing something, as we know, when we're doing something we love, it's easier to be sitting in the classroom because you're trying to learn something that, you know, you want to be a part of.
I think also to talk about skills, so I think who you're saying is communication skills and the ability to be able to transfer your experience and your thoughts from your mind into coaching a team is hugely important. Thinking about Pacific Islanders, which you see we're dominating in numbers across the world, what about transferable skills that are probably underestimated that can offer in terms of a coaching role and things with often rugby players in general and Pacific Islanders will underestimate those? Any words of advice or gold around that?
It's important. Even though we didn't like school war, it's probably something that turns us off. As I said, you know, the ability to have a plan of how you learn, an understanding of what's the best learning environment for you, and you know, everyone goes through the bark or different ways of learning, and most of it is probably outside doing. Yet there's got to be, every player's got to have a plan around how they do that and what's best for them, and be open about it. I think back in the day, everyone was told what to do and you just had to do it. Now there's more discussions about how we can do things, you know, incorporating everyone having a voice. Which is something new which will be new for a lot of players, turning into, it was new for me, having to transition to that. Now it's all, you know, how can we do this better? Asking questions rather than, let's just save half an hour, just do it like this, trust me, I've done it. to now, actually, what do you think about doing this one? But I want to do it this way. Well, why don't you just try this? Yeah, actually, no, that's not so bad. Oh, no, you look good doing it. Oh, yeah, I like this. Oh, man, you're the man. You know?
Yep.
So there is an element of that, and it's just the way it is. It's more like, it is modern parenting now, because that's the same way I have to talk to my kids, because they don't listen to the first thing. It's always, well, why are we going to do that? Oh, my goodness. But at least I can lock the doors and no one can see what actually happens after that. You know, I think that's the way it's going, you know. And so it's actually good too for a coach like myself who's been around for a bit, because I'm learning new things. I'm learning technology, you know, realising now that, you know, I'm putting new ways, I'm learning new things that can make the learning better with the ability of technology and new apps and things like that. Although I do have to, you know, still utilize my kids to, how do I do this? What do I do, like social media, and what's the story? What do you do? How do you put that on your story? And so, you know, like there, you know, it's also a way to connect with your children for me. But you know, it's actually our ability to adapt. You've got to adapt. I think it's the old adage: you don't adapt, you get past. And so I think that's probably the thing for our young people. We're trying our best to adapt to the way you learn, but you need to have an understanding of what's best for you as well, and be open about it. Don't just sit back, because you've got to control your career rather than let people, there's a lot of people around that want to control it and think they should know better. But you're probably the best person to control your career, because you're the one that knows. And you'll save yourself a lot of time to about on your pathway to where you want to get to.
Yeah, nice. Pass on a question that's come through from Kiwi Senior, just talking about you, Tana, what type of activities or personal development for yourself do you like enjoy doing outside of coaching to try and keep some balance?
I think initially I was able to go overseas and look at other teams and the way they trained. And played, you know, we went to the States and watched NBA and things like that. And, you know, I learned a lot, not so much in the, you know, their budgets are huge, so you don't learn a lot in terms of what they're, you know, how they prepare. Yet it's just the different mindsets I learned a lot about. And the way they push leadership. Leadership's not necessarily on your abilities or your traits. It's more about could be who gets paid the most, because they don't want to, you know, disrupt too much about the guy that gets paid the most, because he's usually the best player. So, you know, that was interesting for me. Yet, I suppose the biggest thing I can say around is developing where you're not strong. And mine's, look, I'm not, mine's not so much on the field, because I think that's a strength of mine. Mine's networking and managing up and across, you know, managing people. Like when you become a head coach, you have to manage a lot of people. You go from managing yourself as an assistant and just that little group to actually managing 20, 30 odd people, managing boards, you know, and having how they talk, because it's, again, from my perspective, it's not something I've ever enjoyed. I've never really thought about in terms of interacting with them. So you do what you do, I do what I do, and let's just leave it there, and, you know, we'll trust each other to do their job. You look after the club, I'll look after. Yet it doesn't work like that in the real world. And that's where I probably I've done a few courses around managing and leading those across and around, you know, because I've been very good around, you know, being on the grass and managing players. So, you know, that's part of my growth and learning about that. I read a lot initially, and just to grow yourself. Oh, I can't re-emphasize enough, you know, there's a lot of resources out to us that are really simple to get. And just reading, learning, you learn from everything and how you can pass that on. And I suppose outside of that, like, I have some passions outside of rugby that are just for me too. You know, I try and get my kids into it, but they don't like it. It's just me, which is all right. You know, to keep myself healthy and fit, you know, I do a bit of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, so that just gives me my hour or something out of the game.
Nice. Question for both of you, but I'll start with you, Mussy. Pacific Islanders, you know, one in five players in every team across the world now is a Pacific Island player, and higher in some areas. In New Zealand, I think over 50% of contracted players, Pacific Islanders, same in Australia, and really it's just growing and growing across the world, as we know. Often we get questions from different management coaches around communicating and understanding PI players and how they can best do that. Any hints from yourselves as in terms of how you deal and coach Pacific Island players compared to non-Pacific Island players? Anything on that?
Yeah, I think you'd like to touch on earlier. You know, I was thinking Port Island boys is on the field. You know, the action is, you won't more worry about that. I think the thing we've got to challenge ourselves is be talking. And then something that I'm learning to as a coach, and as a, you know, like T was saying, what's, you know, on the field, it's not, you know, a problem, but, you know, the communications, like talking and reach out, you know, if you have, like, you know, something to say, and other than just holding it to yourself. I think for me, my best advice is just, you know, let's talk about it. You know, like T was saying before, you know, it's all about, okay, should we do this, Mussy? Should we just, you know, let it out, and then we discussion now, and then, like, just waiting for the management or the coaches all the time to tell. And, you know, for me, it's just speak out, you know, like, probably that's the biggest problem in all Pacific Island boys. You know, I myself, I found it before I started. I've just, you know, never talk, and just, you know, when, remember, T was captain, I said, T, what do you want to do? Do you want to kill that guy or what? You know, that's it. But, you know, it's more like the communications and speak up. And for me, it's the voice that's more important. And, you know, when I'm encouraged the Pacific boys to speak up a little bit more.
Yeah, nice. Tony, anything on that?
Yeah, look, I get asked this all the time when I go to different workshops, you know, and about how do we, how do you deal with the Pacific Island players? Because, you know, like you say, we do dominate. And I says, well, we're no different to anyone else. Just talk to us straight up and we'll give you a straight up answer. Yet if you try and dance around the subject all the time, then we'll just lose what you just talked about and forget about what you're asking us. You know, that's how I see it. Like, I think if they, you know, if they're just open and honest, I think that's what we pick up really quickly. And we're very, you know, we smell bullshit from a mile away. You know, don't try and bullshit us just because we figure it out. And we're...
says it's all bullshit.
We're smarter than they think because, you know, like if we sense it, then we can just turn off and use what we want to, I didn't understand the question, or, whatever, we'll just do what we do. So that's all I say to is just ask for what, like if you ask God a question for me, ask me. I will say to our leaders and our teams, if, you know, for the young ones, making sure that you're an avenue for their voice, because they just need a little bit of a, when they first come in, it's again, within our course, just to sit back and test the lay of the land before we actually get right back in there, you know. Although the modern players here, they don't sit back for no one now, so actually it's probably changed a bit. We just got to have a bit more, how would I say, patience, you know, because it's usually we're going to make more errors because we're so keen to do the right thing, and or they already know. It's like they know what they already know, and they think that's it.
Yep.
When they come out of school, or they come out of, you know, and they thought, this is the way we've been told for the last 7 years, because that's what my coach that I've had for 7 years has told me. I says, well, it's changed now, because now you're a professional, you know. This is what you need to learn. I said, oh, that's a whole, you know. So sometimes reteaching some of the basic skills, because they have to learn it, because they're not the biggest, baddest, fastest anymore, you know. They've just got to fit in and learn some of the, you know, the fundamentals of the game, which is what we're teaching sometimes at a professional level.
Yeah, sure. Just to jump into some different subjects, I'm getting some questions flying through, which is awesome, everybody, and we'll open it up for some others soon. Just to touch on them, what about inspiration for yourselves in terms of best advice that you've received, or even a coaching mentor that you may have looked up to or watched or talked to often? Anything to pass on there? Either, I want to start, Mussy.
Like I say, man, I'm new to the game. I'm still learning. This year I went to Japan. I caught up with Wayne Smith. You know, I'm still learning. And, you know, it just makes a difference. You know, spend 3-4 days in Kobe still. And last year I caught up with T, you know, and, you know, I went to see Coops. And, you know, I'm still trying to, you know, learn as much as I can, you know, just going around and get some, you know, some advice. At the end of the day, I want to do my own, you know, like, you know, any boys want to get into coaches, you don't want to be copying, you want to do your own style of coaching, you know, like, of course you can get advice and some inputs from, you know, the people that have done it in the past and, you know, legend of the game, but at the end of the day is you do your own style and what's make you happy and what's make you feel good for coaching.
Nice.
Yeah, look, I'm from the, I've had some very good coaches in my time, right from, you know, right from when I was young. So obviously Wayne Smith's one, a big one through our time. You know, I still remember some of the discussions I had from my under 19 rugby league coach who had faith in me and some of the attributes he had to probably Frank Walker, who kind of managed my transition from rugby league to rugby and then supported me through. I think the three main things, like from the three coaches, was they showed faith in me. You know, they gave me confidence to, you know, be the player I am. And then also, you know, imparted some, a lot of wisdom around the simplicity of keeping things simple. You know, that's probably a constant message that kind of came through from when I was young, is that, you know, our game's a simple game, yet it's probably us as coaches that can make it difficult and hard for our players, you know, the way they learn. And yet when we get back to the fundamentals of our game, which is a simple game, and it's just us trying to make sure that we try and simplify it as much as we can, so we don't get the players caught up, you know, and all the everything else that goes on within it, because there is a lot that can, you know, cloud their minds.
Yeah, great. And carrying on that chat, on a slightly lighter sort of theme, halftime speeches. For both of you, one each, any good stories either that you received as a player or that you've dished out as a coach, having to stand there and serve one up for the team?
Come on, Matty. There's a lot from T halftime, but for me, it's probably the funniest thing. And, you know, when I was in cast halftime, I was the captain, and, you know, at the time I didn't know any French at all, and I started speaking English. And one of the guys, Ben Kayser, he's played for France, the hooker, is really good guy. He translated this for me, and I say to the boys at halftime, while we're down, I think, playing, and I say, look, we're going to go to the place he'd never been before, you know, like, you know, it's no tomorrow, we're all going to, you know, ride or die, kill you. And then French boys are looking at me, go, are we all going to die today? And I was like, Jesus, can you translate the way I'm saying? But yeah, those are probably my, you know, just everyone's, maybe the French boys looking at me and they're like, are we all going to die? And I was like, oh, I'm going to get this message across. And I say to Ben Case, I was like, good luck, bro, passing down the round.
No, I don't, I have a pretty bad memory around those things. Half times, I don't think I say much. You know, it all depends on what's happening in the game. Yeah, like I say, it's probably players that remember most of them. I remember getting yelled at a lot at halftime as a player. So from a coaching perspective, I really don't have any thoughts around, any memories around that, sorry. Probably what I
do. What about the emotions then, as a coach, the highs and the lows, struggling with results or things not going your way, players, work colleagues not working out for you? Like, how do you both deal with the ups and downs of that as a coach? As a player, you're able to probably let your frustration out and just go for it. And as a coach, you're not.
Yeah, those are probably more things that we deal with. You know, the frustrations of results, the stress, and how you deal with those. And look, I've been through that recently. And it's something that we've really got to deal with openly, which has never been a strength of mine. I like to keep things pretty close to my chest. And you take everything on board when things don't go well, you know, which isn't good, you know, and in this day of, you know, mental health and keeping mental well-being and making sure that we're keeping ourselves healthy and of body and mind. You know, it's really important because, you know, it does come back on you, especially as a head coach. And, you know, I'd say for me, I didn't handle it well, the results that came, you know, and how I outwardly as well. You know, you're trying to be the strong, making sure that, nah, it doesn't affect, we'll just keep moving on, our next job, you know, all that kind of mindset. But inside you kind of think, what the hell's happening here? You know, how do we deal with this? And also, you know, you kind of come home and you've got to make sure that you're showing the same persona. That's how I felt, because you don't want to show that, you know, it's getting to you. But I think just as as been shown, is that you've got to talk about it. It's just making sure that, you've got to share those feelings that you've got. Otherwise, it'll eat you up. which it does. You know, you kind of can't sleep, and you think, I've got to go to work earlier. So you get to work early, you know, and then all of a sudden you've done all your work before 6 a.m, and then what are you doing then? Are you just waiting, thinking about it? You're just creating anxiety for yourself. So understanding that, and again, culturally for us, that's probably a hard thing, is opening up, especially of my vintage. You know, you don't want to show that, oh, yeah, you know, I'm not doing well, I'm failing, or, you know, you're trying. So, you know, those things, I think, you know, those are the tough things, making sure you have someone to open up to, and just being open and honest around how you're feeling and how it's, you know, and how, because then we can get on top of it. You can move forward. You know, but I suppose the other thing is making sure you've got a good group of people around you that are good at what they do, you know. That's the key thing.
Yeah, nice. Must be anything to add on that?
No, for me, it's, you know, like emotions-wise, of still, you know, new to the to this role. But, you know, like Tara say, I speak my mind, like, you know, speak it directly to the boys. And, you know, if you got something, those emotions to hold in, you know, you got to find someone to let out to, you know, something that you trust, you know, to touch it again. You know, you got to know people on that circle you can trust. And that's the probably the most important thing. You can, you know, lean on those people and then can trust those people too. Because you don't want to hold on to it, because when you explode, you don't want to know. And I think something that we need to, you know, to trust and make sure we open up to people that we trust, and special family and friends in that.
Yeah, nice. Just want to touch on a good question that Benny Arting has put up around, and be interesting to get your opinion and perspective, because both of you haven't got to that stage yet, is around today we're seeing young players go straight into pro rugby and then sometimes into coaching. That's all of nine, and they've built up a great skill set, but we don't often hear about them, what then where the coaches head to, and what careers. Have you got any thoughts on possibly, again, this comes back to transferable skills, on what could be next, either your own personal aspirations or what you've seen other coaches do in terms of utilising what they've learnt and what other industries and things they could probably take those into? Tana?
Yeah, look, I think, as is with a player, you know, coaching's not the be-all and end-all. I think that's what you've got to realise, as we try and educate our players around making sure that they are preparing for life after rugby. As a coach, you've got to make sure that you're doing the same. You know, the opportunities are the same as for a player. The networking abilities and the opportunities to do that are there for you. So you've got to take advantage of those. And that's something that you've got to make sure, you know, like we're always a contract. After a contract, you know, it's never a definite that you're always going to have one. So an understanding that there's a finite life to what you're doing at that time, or a definite, you know, finish time for, you know, your where you are at the moment, then you've got to, what's going to happen after that? You've got to look forward and past that, you know, and, yeah, I want to stay on because will there be a job, you know? So you've always got to have that thought in your mind and prepare for that. And, you know, there's no time like the present to prepare for that. And those skills that you've developed and that you're telling your players to have, you've got to show that you've got those as well, and utilising those opportunities, as I said. So, look, I think coaching, if you can, if you can limit for the rest of your life, you're a very fortunate person, yeah. I think every coach or should have something else going on behind that so they can fall back into.
Anything for you, Musty, in that space?
I think, you know, Tana covers it all, bro. Like, you know, like, it's not just, you know, like some, you know, players that think coaches is just the path of the rugby, you know, like the skills you got, but it's actually... it's not just rugby, you know. It's about, you know, what's outside rugby too. And that's probably you know, the testing thing for me is just learning to, you know, to know your players and to know what's after rugby. You know, it's not just the rugby world of it.
It's actually probably, just to elaborate a bit more, it's something that we talk about it in our PRP workshops with players around transition quite a bit, is realising actually you build up resilience too. What Tana's talking about, the ability to take a 1 or 2 year contract somewhere as a coach or a player is a risk that many people in the professional world would never take, because they're all about lifetime jobs. So resilience to be able to deal with the emotions, we're talking about the ups and downs there that other people don't have, the communication skills, the ability to analyse and to pull things apart, and then the problem solve. All these things here that you learn as a player, but also as a coach, that you can then take into a different industry and really add value to business world or whatever. So a word of advice to everybody online is that you can really drill down if you pull apart what you've learned and apply it in other spaces. On that, a little bit more about personal development, any books or podcasts or whatever it is that either of you have read in the past that you would really value that's important to you or has given you insights to your profession?
See, what books have you been reading, brother?
I'm just looking at my book, mate.
It's behind you, you know?
What about the apps, Tana? I see a few people online here with their pen and paper out. If they're thinking about getting on the front foot and being relevant in today's age, what are the apps and what are the functions that you're using at the Blues and then even at Racing Musi that you would recommend to a player, like get onto the study it up, know how to do it, other than Microsoft Excel?
Rather than Bebo and MySpace.
What are you using? What tools are you guys using these days?
Snapchat.
TikTok. I think I'm trying to get TikTok. Nah. I like to use screen. You screen record some of my review sessions. So just, I like trying to be...
I used the Keynote.
I'll just do Keynote and Keynote Lock. In terms of, you know, making things efficiency of time, you know, we don't get a lot of time. I'm sure as a coach you'll understand that, you know, the one thing we'd always want more of is time on the field, and the one thing that the players want less of is time on the field and time in the class. So being really efficient with our time, where it is, you know, and how we can use it, and also the platforms of, you know, what the players like. So screen recording some reviews, you're putting those on little links that the players can look at and that you can obviously measure, you know, and check if they're checking it out. So I use one called Loom, L-O-O-M, which just is a screen recording app. So, you know, just I've got, and I can do individuals, and also it's good for individuals as well. You know, you can just do something online with them.
Can you send them a Dropbox link, or would you send
them? Yeah, it gives you a link to send to them, and you can just WhatsApp it to them, and they'll come back to you. I like that. The players seem to like it. So that's probably the ones that I've used.
What type of calendar do you guys use, say, within your teams, shared calendars and things like that? What platform?
Oh, we have, for us, we have one called Sports Office. It's a European one, so, you know. But we pretty much would prefer Google, you know.
Google Calendar.
Google Calendar, and it's what we're used to. Yet again, it's depending on what your organisation's using as well. So we run a couple of calendars just because it's ease of use. Yep. You know, what we know now is players only want to click one or two links before they're into what they need to see. You know, not clicked through, put a password in, then put their name in, you know, because it's, again, speed of use and making sure that it's just easy. You know, it's just the way that, you know, it is. So we've got to make it that way.
Yeah, nice. Must be anything you guys using tools in there in Paris? Any tips and tricks?
Oh, it's probably similar to tell you what they're using. You know, we got, you know, sometimes I use the WhatsApp thing for the boys just for some clips and stuff like that. And I use a lot of screen recording. Still learning on that. The video guy, he's pretty good.
Got it.
And he's coming up with some, you know, some new things. And, you know, it's a lot of technology out there. And, you know, like he's a new guy on the block, he's still trying to learn those sort of thing. And, yeah, like before, you know, don't like to spend much time on the screen now. It's more like on the field and that. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to spend a little bit more time on that too.
Yeah, nice. And just one question around individual players. Probably one to you, Tana, you've had a bit of experience in coaching. Is there any moment, one player, you don't actually have to name them, but in terms of difficulty that you've really battled to communicate with or get something across that taught you lessons in terms of your own style, coaching style, and really required you to break it down?
Lumi, te rongkaidu.
Just name it, please.
Look, I don't, in terms of getting things across, not really. I think most players have a way that they want to learn, and for us as coaches, it's making sure that we find out that way, you know, what's best for the player. I think early on, you know, as I stated, it was my way was just there was one way. I tell you, you do it. Otherwise, you're not there next week, you know. And then an understanding that actually he doesn't understand the way we're delivering it, so I've got to change my way because it's not helping him, you know.
Yeah.
And that was just through a discussion with the player in the end, you know, as you do, you know, what's happening, you know, things aren't, you know, like, you see, you know, you select them on the way they've played or they've acted before, and you send, oh, that's awesome, you know, how come I'm not getting through? And that's, we've got to, I think as coaches sometimes, you've got to check your ego to make sure that it's always got to be someone else, it's not me. You've got to, like, look at it and say, well, this is my job, I'm meant to get this across, how come it's not working for him? And look at it as my problem as well. And how can we find that solution together? That's probably the biggest thing for me is now is that, well, if he's not getting it, it's my fault because that's my job. You know, that's my job to make sure he does get it. Whether that's because he's reluctant, he doesn't want to learn it that way, or no, this is the way I've got done it, you know, for all of my 19 years, that's the way I should do it. I said, well, hey, look, how about you think about it a different way, because, you know, in your next 19 years, we want you to be, you know, where I am or, you know, at the elite level, then, you know, this is maybe an opportunity for you to learn something new, you know, because we can't keep doing the same thing. Otherwise, as I said, people pass us by. So it's around those discussions and understanding that to make sure that we look inside ourselves as well as looking at the player and the way they're willing to learn and how they can learn or they've learned before, you know, so we get a big picture and a good picture of how it's best to attack the problem.
Yeah, nice. And just one of the questions that came through there, what about your team culture and team values and the weighting that has on results and performance for yourselves? We often talk about the technical side of coaching and the need to upskill and things like that, and from your own backgrounds as players, how much emphasis do you place on building that team culture and how do you do it?
Must it to you or me? Me?
Yeah, go, you go.
Okay, I'll start. Maybe some of the boys online, they're still playing, you know, and France is, you know, it's probably the main thing that my emphasis of putting in is the team culture. we're lucky enough where there's, you know, some foreign players, and because it's really difficult with the French boys, you know. But we're getting there, you know. It's all about develop their culture, you know. It doesn't matter where you're from, you know, like we put on New Zealand, you know, New Zealand, it doesn't matter where you're from, as long as you put on that black jersey or whatever jersey, you're in one culture. And I think something that we've been working, I've been working in racing for the last couple of years, so it's developed that culture. And I think, you know, it's not just up to the management or up to the coaches. I think it's up to the players to come together, especially the senior players and that, the captains, the leaders. You know, they need to come together and develop that culture, because we all from different background, and, you know, like we need to come together, because if we want to be succeed and, you know, to be a better team, you know, we need to have each other and to know each other's background. And I think, you know, in racing, like some boys, it's really difficult, the Frenchies, but, you know, we're getting there, and you can tell the way we perform too, you know, in the year out, year, and, you know, we're getting there.
Ton, anything to add?
Culture. Mm-hmm. Culture is huge, you know, and everything that we're doing, the teams that we're part of, yet probably the biggest thing after that once is making sure that we keep accountability of the standards and values once they've been decided on. And that's probably the, you know, how long a culture lives, or if it lives or dies, because, you know, your leadership is key to that. You know, they're living those values, they're living them every day, and keeping the other players accountable to that every day as well. To show that, you know, there is no hierarchy here. It's just, you know, we're all the same, and we're all here for the same purpose, and making sure everyone, getting everyone to buy into that purpose is crucial. And, you know, look, it's, for some it takes time, for some it's new, you know, that, oh, but, you know, it feels like you're constricting who I am. It says, no, we're not. We're just making sure that, you know, we're all on the same waka here, trying to move forward, and we're doing that in everything that we do. And everyone's got a voice, you know. Like, I think the catchphrase these days is to also make sure that it's a safe place to have your own opinion and voice those opinions, which is sometimes hard, you know, and, for some of our players to do that. And also for, you know, your leaders to actually give other people a voice, just to let them, you know, because, you know, they haven't been used to that before either, you know. So there's a constant learning piece within the cultures to adapt and understand the, you know, those that are within it, you know, how they are. And it's, when you've got a good one, it's because you're getting everyone to know each other, you know, build that camaraderie within a team. And I suppose that's what we all love, you know, because it's a, you know, it's a kind of a duplication of, you know, what our cultures are, you know, of, you know, the community, everyone looking after each other. And, you know, it's what we probably want at home as possible.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, really valuable, actually. Any questions from the floor? Anybody want to pipe up a question? I've only got one more. We're going to wind it down soon, where everybody wants to get on with their day or get to bed, one or the other. Any coming in? Both to you, Musky. All right, Rodney's just sending a question. Coaching philosophy at a high level that you have a guideline for yourself. Is there anything you could probably frame up there around, if someone was to ask you, what type of coach are you, what would be a short answer to them? Musky?
Is that for me?
Yeah, both, yep. First?
Yeah, for me, at the moment, I'm mainly focused on defence. You know, that's type of coach as I am. You know, doing that course of the French one, is the deux, is more like a hands-on, like training, you know, the drills, everything's on the field. Probably that's my priority, you know. Like, sometimes you're going to focus on what you actually, you know, your strength and what you can, you know, be good at. And probably that's my best advice. You're going to focus on one thing at a time, other than trying to be, you know, nice. Explore everything.
Nice.
My philosophy hasn't changed. Mine's really just about developing people to live the dream that I've been able to live every day of my life, pretty much. You know, that's kind of how I see it, is my ability to help players live the dream that I was able to live and I continue to live. And by doing that, making sure that if I'm doing that, then I'm, you know, I'm at the being the best that I can be, you know, and keeping myself accountable to that. Because if I'm doing all those things, then, you know, all the people that I'm that I can influence, that I love, you know, are living a good life, you know. So, you know, it just keeps me on track to make sure that I don't take any shortcuts. And, you know, it's great that I'm also keeping, I keep learning as well.
Just for me, if you really want to do something, you've got to be passionate about, you know, something that you love and something that you've got to commit to it. You know, like, you know, I'm still going around. Every time I get a good opportunity to go see, you know, like guys like T, you know, Colin Cooper, you know, I just want to, you know, because there's something that I love. Like, you know, T was saying before at the start, it's not just being the rugby's there, but you got to put the time and the sacrifice. Because let's be honest, it's a lot of sacrifice. I think T will know about this, about coaching lands. Like sometimes, you know, thanks for this crisis going down, that's stuck in the home. But actually, it's a good time because, you know, as soon as I've been taking responsibility as defence coach, I leave home at like I said before, 7, I get home at 6. You know, that's a lot of time. You know, that's the sacrifice you put in. And, you know, for me, the main word is you've got to be passionate and you've got to be love about it, man. You've got to love it. You've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, awesome. And I'm going to wind it down a bit. Mid-career, say a 25-year-old self, think about you back then, not even just on a coaching perspective, but just on personal development. If you were to go back in time, what would you tell a 25-year-old Tana or a 25-year-old Masi, like, on reflection? Well, some words of advice to compare to what you know now, because there's some people online. They'll be interested to know, because everybody here wouldn't have turned up if they weren't interested in developing themselves personally. Nothing first? Anything? Nothing?
T-O-P-Q.
I'll start off with you. For me, you know, like, I wish I do, you know, I've got no regrets at all, you know, but for me, it's just remember, you know, rugby doesn't go forever. You know, like, unfortunately, I'm lucky enough to have good people around me. You know, if you're 25, you know, you start thinking of the future. You know, don't leave it to the last minute or the last second. You know, if you're 25, you sort of start building something in the future for after rugby or whatever you do. And, you know, that's probably the advice, you know.
Nice.
Yeah, look, I think that's exactly what I was thinking. Just try and have a plan about, you know, life after rugby. Get it in early. Use the opportunities that rugby gives you, you know, the environments that you're in, the people that you meet. Get out of the corner, you know, and just sit in there with your boys. You know, get out there, meet some rugby people, because those are probably the people that will help you in that next stage of life after rugby.
Awesome. Hey, I'll probably want to wind it up there, unless someone else has got a pressing question, but I think it's been fantastic.
School starting in my kitchen here soon.
Make sure I hurry up. we'll move on. Hey, firstly, thank you to you both for your time. Like, it's been amazing. We had about 90 people online there at one stage, getting just little pieces of gold early when thinking about coaching life after rugby and just personal development in general. So to you both, thanks very much. To everyone online, thanks for turning up, listening to these guys. Tomorrow we've got, like I said earlier, our money management budgeting. I'm never going to be a coach if you can't pay your bills, so you better make sure you're sorting out those sorts of things. You two, any closing words from you both, but really from PRP and all of our team, all the players, thank you.
Thanks for having us, but any of the boys that are listening, if you want a job, coaching job, go see T.
Don't see me anymore. Thanks. It's good to catch up and connect. And thanks to our PRP for putting these on. And also, I think, trust our culture. That's strong in what we do. That's probably something that I'm doing a little bit more now. And, we're natural storytellers because that's how our stories were told. And our players enjoy that form of teaching. They like to attribute it to a story. If we can do that, then, that's going to be strong for whatever group you're part of. Enjoy. And hopefully everyone's well.
Be safe, boys.
Thanks for joining us on today's show. Check out PacificRugbyPlayers.com and follow us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter to stay on top of all news relating to Pacific Rugby Players and to find out when we drop our next episode of PRP Radio.